This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Since the early 1990s, the number of children with a parent in prison has increased 82%, and children see their parent who is incarcerated less frequently than previously. Black children are 7 times more likely and Latino children twice as likely as white children to have an incarcerated parent. More than 2 million minor children have a parent who is incarcerated with profound financial, emotional, social, and learning consequences. The depth of a child's pain when a parent is put in prison is deep and often goes unnoticed by teachers, relatives, and friends. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here Sundays to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, child care providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. What becomes of children when a parent is sent to prison? Sometimes there's another parent in the home, but often other relatives need to step in, or children are sent to foster care. These children have basic needs for shelter and food and clothes and health care, as well as compassionate support for the complex emotions that they experience. They need to know what happened to their parent, and they need a way to reduce feelings of shame so they can talk about it and not feel so alone. And most of the time, they want to see their parent and continue their relationship. Today, we'll discuss what we can do as members of their community, as relatives, neighbors, professionals, or teachers. It's a subject that isn't talked about enough. Call us and tell us about your experience with a parent in prison or as a grandparent or relative caring for a child. The lines are open toll-free, 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. We want to hear from you. You can also email us at info@childhoodmatters.org. And don't forget, in subjects like this, you don't even have to use your right name or right county. That's the nice thing about radio. We don't see you, but we love hearing from you. Joining us in the studio is Dr. Barbara Ivins. She's a psychologist with a specialty in early childhood mental health. And she's the clinical director of the Parent-Infant Program and the Early Childhood Mental Health Program at Children's Hospital and Research Center in Oakland. In addition to providing clinical services, she also provides supervision to staff and training and consultation to community organizations, including working with children involved with child welfare, of incarcerated parents with developmental disabilities, and children who are high risk. She's an instructor in the School of Social Welfare at UC Berkeley and is a former fellow for the National Center for the Clinical Infant Programs in Washington, D.C., and she's the parent of 2 boys. Barbara Ivins, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks, Rona.
Also joining us is Bruce Collins. He's the chair of the Fatherhood Collaborative of San Mateo County and recently retired with the San Mateo County Senior Deputy Probation Officer Program. He's also an instructor at City College of San Francisco, a mentor, and a proud member of the Berkeley Alumni Chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi, and that's fraternity. Appointed to the Fatherhood Collaborative Governing Board in 2005, he's an avid proponent of responsible fatherhood and is eager to spread that message to fathers, men, and youngsters. He is happily married to Rhonda Collins, also a probation officer, and they have 3 teenage children. Bruce Collins, welcome back to Childhood Matters.
Rhonda, glad to be here.
Great to see you this morning.
Always glad to be with you.
Well, we'll start with you, Barbara Ivins. The San Francisco Children of Incarcerated Parents Partnership is a coalition of service providers, representatives of government bodies, advocates, and others who work with children of incarcerated parents and their families. You've recently joined that impressive group. Why is this group so important in terms of meeting the needs of children?
This group, Rona, has been together for about 10 years, so I had the privilege of joining them and attending their meetings over the past year or so. And they're a remarkable group that brings together a number of passionate people who work for different agencies who deal with children of incarcerated parents in San Francisco. They came together over developing a Bill of Rights for Children that really heightened the awareness and brought to everyone's attention the needs of kids and incarcerated parents. And really the importance is in the collaboration among agencies and the change that they've been able to effect in terms of both services and policies in San Francisco. And those are things like changing visitation in the jails in San Francisco and making them really child-friendly, changing arrest protocols in San Francisco, developing relationships between social service agencies and police in terms of developing ways to handle young kids. And it's been a really positive and really exciting thing, so much so that we've just recently gotten some funding to start a similar group in Alameda County.
And as a therapist, why is that so important to you? I mean, you work a lot individually with children who have dealt with trauma.
Yeah, and as a mental health person, what I've come to recognize is that this is a group of children who are basically unseen and unserved by any coordinated system of care. So even in the mental health system, I feel like we're not, you know, really asking the right questions to find out if children really have experienced things like witnessing their parents being arrested. We're not helping caregivers and families answer questions, talk to children, and really figure it out. So for me, it was partially wanting to coordinate some efforts in the East Bay to get mental health to pay more attention to how we can help kids.
Yeah, it's so important. There's so much you can do individually, but without that kind of change in policy and collaboration, children continue to not get what they need.
It's true, and there's been actually a lot of interest. So I feel like for different service agencies that really do work with kids, bringing us together to find some answers to questions that we really don't have. There's not a lot of research that's done on this population of kids, again, because they're seen by teachers or they're seen by mental health professionals. Some small portion are in foster care in the child welfare system. But until we're really talking to each other and collaborating, we're not understanding what we need to do.
Thank you for that. Bruce Collins, as a probation officer, what were some of the challenges you saw families facing when it came to helping children deal with the trauma of having a parent in prison?
Well, the probation officer's main objective is really to try to keep a parent from going to state prison. And when that's not successful, you do want to start looking at who are my allies in this situation? What family members are going to take care of this child? Are they aware of any of the resources that's going to assist them in providing care? And more importantly, who's going to sit down and talk to this child about what's going on?
Yeah.
Because having worked in the juvenile services, you understand how important it is for kids to know and deal with the truth and not be left out. And when you have this situation, I think you set up a better situation for the kid to come out a lot healthier. But if you don't, then I think it's bad for the parent, and I think it's bad for the kid, and ultimately bad for when the parent get out on the family reunion fund.
And it's bad for society because, in fact, a child being more likely to follow that same path, I think, occurs when they don't get the kind of attention and care and support that they need.
Well, I think that's the importance of being truthful.
Yeah.
Because if that foundation is laid, then you can start working and building on that. The worst thing I would want is for a kid to find out from someone other than a family member, specifically the individual that's going to be incarcerated. I think it's important not to underestimate that child's intelligence and to tell him the truth and start working and building and give him the family support starting from there.
Well, I think that's a great point to invite people to call us, 1-877-372-KIDS. You know, this is a hard subject to talk to kids about. It's a subject that people don't talk about openly because there is shame and guilt. And so I think it's very important for us to have this conversation this morning, 877-372-KIDS. We're going to start off with our live line, and I also want to mention we have the book All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated by Nell Bernstein to give away this morning to callers. Fabulous book that really addresses all these issues. Let's start with Karma this morning from Santa Clara. Hi, Karma.
Good morning, Rona.
So good to hear from you.
It's nice to hear you as well.
Yeah. It's been a while. Karma's one of our regular listeners. Karma, what do you want to say on this subject?
Well, I just wanted to say that I agree with what the probation officer was saying about being truthful. I have two daughters, 4 years old and 11 years old. My husband at the time was incarcerated for a number of years. I was 5 months pregnant when he went to jail. So I think he was 18. My daughter was 18 months old when he first met her. And it was very difficult for my family, but I was honest with them, with the girls. So I do agree in that part. The resources are very limited for families. And I saw a statistic somewhere that said that most of the people, most of the inmates had parents who were incarcerated as well. And that really scared me. So I really tried to seek out some support for the girls because I didn't want them to grow up and, you know, be criminals themselves and just think that this lifestyle is like, this is our life.
Right.
And so I just sought out a lot of parents groups like moms, you know, mommy clubs and stuff like that, even though there weren't any specific groups for parents incarcerated family members and things. I just did some family support groups.
Yes, because you just needed support and you needed to have hope and you needed to know that, you know, you were doing well by your kids.
And even for my infant, we did programs together. There's a program called Ounces. We did it a few times. We would just repeat the program. We did that with friends outside. And we would just do things to just bond and be close.
Yes.
And just see, you know, a functioning parent.
Yes.
You know, clean and sober and a family unit. That this is what life is. So I just try to project that image to my children so that they would not become, that projection of just family and a functioning member of society. So they wouldn't fall into the statistics.
Well, Karma, that's exactly right. And I think Friends Outside is an organization in Santa Clara County that does great work also. But I want to ask Barbara here, you know, Karma, by doing what she did is one way to intervene in terms of the trajectory, the path of that child being a healthier path. I think people do worry about, you know, will my child then wind up also mm-hmm. in trouble? You want to say something about that?
Yeah, and I want to give Karma a lot of kind of credit for seeking out what she needed as a parent in order to create the kind of family culture that would promote closeness. And what speaks to me from your story is really your own ability to, again, create an environment, not just for closeness for you and your kids, but a place where your kids would feel safe to talk to you about their father and what happened, to ask questions, and for you to kind of create that environment where you can really answer them honestly and show them the kind of family you really want to have. And that's really important.
Karma, let me just ask you one more question before we take another call. Have your children stayed in touch with their father?
Yes, they do. We have regular visits set up through the courts every other weekend. He did his time. We would go every 3 months to go visit him in state prison.
Yeah.
So his relationship was distant, but, you know, it was continual. And he still remains in the children's lives as well.
Wow, that takes a lot of work. But, you know, Bruce, this is your thing. You want dads to stay connected to their kids, right?
Well, I think it's important. And I think the role that the father plays is really upon him. He has to decide, you know, how am I going to take this bad situation and have a positive impact on my kids? How can I develop a relationship where they know that, you know what, Dad made some bad choices and these are the consequences I must face, but still, I care about you and I want to remain in your life to the extent that I can. However, Karma, I commend you, and I think one of the things that you can present to your children is to challenge them to change the family cycle and make sure that their choices do not lead to the type of consequences their father's facing.
That's a good point, Karma, and I think you're really working on that. I just so appreciate you being so honest and understanding of how hard it is to be a parent, no matter what, but also doing the work. I'd love to send you some passes to the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Oh, thank you, Rona.
Would you like to go there with your kids?
Yeah, we would love to go.
Okay. Felsha will send you some passes. And do you want a copy of the book, All Alone in the World? I mean, I don't know whether you want to go back there and read more about...
You know what? I really think that we did a lot of healing
yeah.
in that area.
We'll leave that for someone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be great for someone that's going through it right now.
That's what I think. That's
when I was going through it right at that time, I was desperate for knowledge.
Like, yes.
Somebody give me a book of how to do this.
Yeah. Well, we have a good one here for someone else. And if there's ever someone you know, let me know and I'll send it to them. Karma, the best to you.
Thank you, Rona. And you know what? For any mothers out there that are going through this with their kids, just as a light of hope, my daughters are... very, very good in school, in sports, and they're very good girls in general. So just because they went through something like this definitely has not defined their character or our family. So just hang in there and keep being a good mom to your kids. And
that's what I'm talking about.
That's right, Karma. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that, and I'll talk to you soon again. Bye-bye. Let's take another call now. It looks like we have Katie on the line from Solano. Good morning, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
I just had one question. I have a daughter that's 10 that I had a husband that went to prison off and on when I had my oldest child. And I think when I let my son have a connection with his father when his father was in prison, my son seemed to take the same route. So my son took the role model of him being the father with my daughter because they're 8 years, and now he went to prison. What should I do about my daughter? Like, I don't want to let her go visit him because I don't want her to take the same step as my son and my husband.
You know, Katie, thank you for calling. I think this is a really important question. I'm going to just say what immediately I think is that, you know, this is complex, and the fact that your son, I'm so sorry that he wound up in prison, it's not because he saw his father in prison necessarily. I think that making that association, I could see why you would make that, but in fact, it's more complex than that. And I don't, let me ask my guests, but I don't think that is necessarily why, and it's hard keeping a child on the right road and keeping them out of trouble. Barbara, what do you think about this?
Well, I agree with what you say. It's kind of a hard thing when you have this in your experience. It's easy to make this link thinking that something's really causal like that. And again, I would say it's something that the family needs to sit down and really talk about to try and really understand what's been everyone's experience.
Bruce?
Yes, Katie. I think that you need to really keep it separate also. I agree with you, Rona, because the daughter needs to understand something concrete. And once again, I go back to choices and consequences. And she can understand, she can relate to father made bad choice, brother made bad choice. That doesn't mean that she's going to. And as long as she has an opportunity to understand that her future is dictated by the choices she makes and not the ones that her father and brother make.
Right. So, Katie, seeing her dad is not necessarily what will trigger, you know, her being in trouble. I would really suggest talking with someone else to come in and work with you and your daughter about what he's just saying about her life and what she wants for her life. And yet she may still want some relationship with her father. I'm going to send you a copy of All Alone in the World, and I'd be happy to talk with you offline also, Katie. In a moment, we'll take more calls on this important subject. Don't go away.
Pick up the phone and get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Looking to better your English? Take free English courses at the Ambrose Recreation Center in Bay Point, Thursday, March 24th, 6 to 7:30. For more information, call 925-252-2331. That's 925-252-2331. Don't miss out on movie night at Support for Families in San Francisco, Friday, March 25th, 5:30 to 7:30. For more information, call 415-920-5040. That's 415-920-5040. Go out for some of the freshest fruits and vegetables at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market every Wednesday and Saturday, 8:30 to 12. For more information, you can call 707-577-8674. That's 707-577-8674. Come out for some outdoor fun at Family Play Day at the Police Activities League Camp in Oakland, Saturday, March 26, 1 to 4. For more information, call 510-409-0210. That's 510-409-0210. Attention parents and teens who may be at risk for type 2 diabetes, the Prevention Now workshop in the Novato Community Hospital will happen this Friday and Saturday, March 25th to 6th. For more information, call 415-209-1388. That's 415-209-1388. Having trouble choosing infant care? Then come out to Bananas Inc. in Oakland, Tuesday, March 22nd, 7 to 9. For more information, call 510-658-7353. That's 510-658-7353. Enjoy a performance by the Watsonville Community Band at the Veterans Memorial Building in Hollister, Wednesday, March 23rd, beginning at 7:30. For more information, call 831-630-5118. That's 831-630-5118. For additional information on events, call 510-663-5437. And to submit information, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Lorenzo Plazola.
Developmental delays affect 1 in 6 children. Although every child develops at a different rate and in different ways, parents and caregivers who spot special needs symptoms in their children can follow these tips when seeking assistance. Get help early. If you think there may be a problem, even if you're not sure, seek help. Visit a doctor or healthcare professional for more resources available to you and your child. Express your concerns clearly by giving concrete information to your doctor about your child's development. If your doctor decides not to do a screening, ask why. Your child's healthy development is important to you. If the screening shows risk of a developmental delay, follow-up is crucial. Ask your doctor about next steps and further assessments for your child. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with Dr. Barbara Ivins. She's the clinical director of the Parent Infant Program and the Early Childhood Mental Health Program at Children's Hospital and Research Center in Oakland, and Bruce Collins, chair of the Fatherhood Collaborative of San Mateo County and a recently retired San Mateo County senior deputy probation officer. And we're talking with you. I just want to mention that for folks who might be interested, I'm doing a class on Thursday evening at Parents Place in San Francisco about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for anyone who would like to come and learn more, talk, and get some support. I just want to ask you, before we take the next call, Barbara Ivins, I'm just thinking about the last caller. I think about how hard it is for parents who are dealing with a child who is incarcerated, aside from having a partner or an ex-partner. It's a hard thing to carry.
I think it's really true, and Katie brings up a really kind of important point. And, you know, parents are really trying their best always with their kids, and they carry a lot of guilt when things don't go in the way that they would like. And I think it's really important for parents to have a place to really talk about their own feelings, because in her case, she's worried about her daughter's experience, and she needs a place to sort out her feelings from that in order to really help her child.
And Katie, if you're still listening out there, just do email me, rona@childhoodmatters.org, and maybe I can help you find some resources. I think that would be great. Let's take another call now. We have Fred with us from San Jose. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having the show. You know, I was listening this morning, and I'm a man who's been to prison, and I have kids. I have three older kids who dealt with my going in and, you know, being caught up in the system. My sister, I lost my kids because their mother also went to prison. My sister adopted my kids.
Oh, wow.
And now I'm in recovery. I have in August I'll have 8 years clean.
Wow. Just stop right there. Let's say congratulations to you,
Fred.
Okay, we got to get that done.
And you know this, the effects that the incarcerate, because like one thing you guys were saying about when your kids see you be arrested. I mean, one time my house got raided because something happened in the neighborhood I was living in between the northern and the southern Mexicans. I'm Mexican, but I'm not involved in that stuff. But you know, just because I got out of prison and I was classified, is that they raided my house and my kids seeing me be arrested. And I didn't get arrested, but I got put in handcuffs. But just seeing the stress that it caused. I mean, I remember my oldest daughter, she must have been about 7 or 8 at that point in time. She, like, just grabbed her head and said, "No, my dad." And I was so, like, oh, my God, my kids, poor things, you know what I mean?
That's right, Fred. And, that's right.
Oh, my God, I felt so bad. And you know, I didn't know if I was going to go in, but the officer, I told him, "Hey, you know, is it cool if I talk to my daughter?" And he let me. You know, and I told her, "It's going to be all right." I remember the first time I was going to go to prison, I was out here, and I knew, and I told my daughter, I said, "I got to go away for a while." You know, I was telling them goodbye. It was my last weekend with them.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Why are you going, you know, why do you have to go do that?" I said, "I have to go through." I said, "Dad was a bad man." And they go, "You're not bad, Dad. You're good." You know?
That's right, because children love their parents.
And it's like, that, you know,
right?
I didn't know what to say, but thank God for my sister being able to adopt them and
that's
keep
right.
them together. You know,
Fred, I want to say that children love their parents no matter what. You know, they just do, and it's really hard. Parents don't know what to say, and Bruce, you know, Fred's story is so important because a couple of things. One, the system doesn't work well in terms of what children see.
Right. Right. And I really, you know, feel bad for Fred because it's got to be hard to have your kids seeing you being arrested and taken away and you really don't have the opportunity to explain to them what's going on. But, you know, the way I see it is that's in the past. You've been out. You've been clean for 8 years. You're here to be involved in your children's lives. To me, Fred, this sounds like great opportunities to take them on a fishing trip or, you know, an outing where you can give them in a wholesome environment. And give them a chance to kind of talk about those feelings and get them out and explain to you how they see it now. And I think that'll be some healing for everybody, and you can move forward as a family.
Yeah, that's good. And Barbara, I was wondering, you know, how you advise people to talk about what's happening when a parent goes to prison. That's a complex subject, isn't
it? Yeah, it's really, really complex. And in Fred's story, you know, he actually was trying to do that himself in the moment. And, you know, before I answer that, the other thing that strikes me is part of working together with other agencies is trying to work with first responders to really control in some ways the arrest process and prevent some of the trauma that Fred's talking about that kids have to witness. And I'm really hopeful that we can make some of those changes, and San Francisco actually is doing that. But I think Fred's talking about kind of multiple kids, and what you say is in part going to depend on how old the kids are. There's no kind of right, perfect answer to this, but it's going to partially be dependent on what kids really can understand. So Fred, I think you did an amazing thing in the moment to really try and notice that your kids were having an experience in the middle of your own arrest and really try and address that. I think that was really powerful for them.
And also, Fred, the fact that you had family who could care for your kids is such a blessing. I just want to thank you so much for calling and speaking of this. I think it's important to tell your story. I see that you have two young children now, Fred. Is that right?
Yeah, I have two new kids. And also, but I get together with my older kids, too.
Good.
I get all of them together. And this one day, we're driving down the street, and my oldest daughter, she goes, "Do you love these kids more than you loved us? Because why do you treat them? Why did they get the good you?" And I told her, I said, "No." I go, and I had to sit and think before I spoke, because because I was like, whoa, you know, this had to be coming. And I told her, you know what? I go, there was never a matter of that I loved you or guys or not. I go, the fact of the matter was I was making bad decisions in my life, and they affected you in a negative way.
That's right, Fred. Right on. You are right on. And taking that responsibility. You know, I have some tickets for the Tech Museum in San Jose, and we'll send you some children's books for your little ones. Fred, I hope you call in on other shows, too. You sound like someone with a lot of wisdom. So you have a good Sunday, Fred. Okay? Take care.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
Let's take a listen now to the voices of some youth. I think it's really important to hear their voices. And our producer went out and talked to some of the youth of Project What.
I'm associate producer Lorenzo Plazola, and I'm here at Project What talking to some youth about the effects of incarceration in the family. How has the incarceration of a family member affected you or your family?
My dad, he was the only parent I have, but my mom, she left when I was a baby. And it made my family stressed because they had to take care of more siblings, even though they had their own family. It affected me because I ended up having to live with my grandma and being separated from my siblings. And I've just never gotten that connection back with my parents that I should have had.
My mom couldn't really support me that much because, like, no one in the house to support her. And I was just so confused, didn't know what was going on. So I was just into a lot of trouble fighting people.
I feel like it has affected our relationship as a family a lot because it's hard to stay connected while your mom or your dad is incarcerated.
Affecting my parents was the criminal record and trying to get a job when they were released. So it definitely caused financial strain on the family.
And what were the lasting effects of this experience?
It brought the family apart. Like, my mom really didn't like my dad's side of the family. Like, she wouldn't let me come and see my grandmother or wouldn't want me to be over there because they think they'll try to put me against her, basically.
Our stability is definitely a lasting effect because it's hard for, like, people who have been incarcerated to get jobs, and it's hard for us financially and, like, mentally and emotionally.
I think as a child, it really takes away your childhood and it causes you to become parentified, so you find yourself doing things that parents would usually do. So the lasting effects of it was that I had to grow up at a really early age.
Me and my mom do not get along at all. We have two totally different opinions about everything. We're pretty much opposites. My dad is usually nowhere to be found, and I don't get to see any of my brothers. You know, I have like 10 siblings, and I don't know very many of them because we were all separated.
So how did you and your family manage through this?
We got through it by using support from other family members. So for instance, when our dad was incarcerated, who was the sole financial support of the family, my sister got a job. And so at 15 years old, she was working and she was paying our bills. And also just having relatives who were able to bring me to visit my father really helped us keep a relationship with my father when he was incarcerated.
We got through it by visiting, phone calls, letters. Also, when my dad came home, he got his stuff together. He went to a program. He got a job. Now we have our own place, so we had to support each other.
When my mom got out of jail, she went to rehab and moved to San Francisco. So eventually she was stable enough to take me and my younger sister. But I guess we're never going to fully get everything back that we should have had.
I feel like our communication got us through it, like staying in touch with our parents and forgiving them opens a lot of doors of staying together as a family.
Wow. Project What, you do an amazing job. People go to Google Project What, and these youth are incredible. Bruce Collins, any comment?
Well, one of the things that I heard most of the kids keep referring to is family, family, family. And I think some of the challenges with all family, whether you're incarcerated or you're dealing with everyday life, is that when there's family problems, there's a challenge for you to come up with family solutions. Mm. And communication, working together, and understanding that us working collectively is where we get our strength and our character. And that's what I heard a lot of these kids talking about, the hurt that they initially felt. But I think the rewards and the gratification and the growth of character by working through it as a family was the most important aspect.
Yeah, and when that can happen, it's really important. Barbara?
Well, you know, this is a really lovely piece to really highlight both the risks and the resilience of the kids and really talking about it. And they mention a lot of the things that we know are true for kids of incarcerated parents, lots of disrupted relationships and family stability issues, change, difficulty in understanding what's going on, financial stresses on the family, conflicts, worry. But at the same time, the positive, the resilience that all these kids were able to stay with family members. There was family members supporting them to have visits, to talk about it, to have forgiveness and healing.
Yeah, and I heard a lot about siblings, and we sometimes forget how important siblings are in the life of these children. Let's take another call. Grace is with us from Oakland. She's a mentor with the Life Project at Center for Us. Good morning, Grace.
Hi, good morning.
Did you just hear this piece of the youth?
I did, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I thought you might want to say something about that or tell us what you're doing as a mentor with Life Project.
Yeah, so I started with Life Project about 9 months ago. I found them on the internet and was just sort of inspired by helping out this underserved youth that is a taboo topic, and it was just something that I thought would be really great to.
And what do you do with them?
I meet with them once or twice a week, and we do activities. We go bowling, we go ice skating, we go to movies, we go to the mall. I just try to do things that normally wouldn't happen in their weekend.
Now, who are the? These are children of incarcerated parents. Is it at San Quentin?
No, not in San Quentin.
Okay.
But yeah, I see them and get to take them out. And it was interesting when I heard those voices of the other children, a lot of the thing that kept coming up was sort of taking this role of being a caregiver, and I've really noticed that with my mentee. I know that she really looks out for me and is very, very mature for her age. I believe she's 13, and she acts, you know, kind of like a mom to me sometimes and worries about if I'm going to get home all right, and I think that the fact that her mother isn't around, that she stepped into that role.
That's a really important point. And Barbara, I'm sure you see that a fair amount. Is that right?
Well, we do see it a lot. And I think it's a real adaptation for a lot of these kids who do have to step into that role. And because they look so mature and responsible, sometimes, you know, it's hard to think that they're struggling with that and that they're really, I thought that one youth in the piece said it really nicely, that she had to grow up too fast.
Yeah. And Grace, so you're a mentor with Life Project at Center for, so you do a one-on-one relationship with a youth whose parent is incarcerated, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And just before we go to a break here, what have you gotten out of this?
Oh, it's been a great experience. I love hanging out with her, and it just makes you put your life in perspective and the things that you have and the things you take for granted, and know that, you know, she's been through so much already, and just being 12 years old and what she's seen. So makes, you know, it's a really great experience to hang out with her, and it also really makes you think about this topic that most people don't think about or talk about.
Well, how can people find out about this project if they're interested like you are?
Well, what I was fortunate enough, I just went through Volunteer Match and found them, or you could also Google Center Force and be able to connect with them that way as well.
Good. Do you have All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated book by Nell Bernstein?
I don't know.
We're going to send you a copy of this.
Oh, great.
Because you're doing the work, and this is a great book that will keep adding to your understanding of what these youth are dealing with. So thank you so much for calling this morning.
Thank you so much.
You know, also, we have one of our regular listeners asked about if there's different standards for people with disabilities who go to jail, and maybe we can answer that when we come back from the break. We're about to go to a break now, but I think it's a lot to talk about people who are incarcerated, the children, the family members. We need to not be ashamed, and we need to be talking, and we need fewer people in prison, too. That's another whole subject. So in a moment, we will take your call.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-877-877. 372-KIDS.
I'm looking forward to our upcoming Childhood Matters show on teaching children about money, saving, spending, and sharing. Something I know you're also interested in, Dr. Marisol.
Sí, Nurse Rona, muchas familias que escuchan nuestros niños quieren aprender más sobre cómo enseñar a los niños a ahorrar, gastar y compartir el dinero.
Guests from Bank of the West will join us to answer questions so that we can all learn how to better manage money in the challenging times we're living in.
Así es, confiamos en nuestros invitados de Bank of the West para responder las preguntas que tenga nuestra audiencia, pues en estos tiempos a todos nos viene bien aprender a manejar mejor el dinero.
So on Sunday, April 3rd, we'll learn about Money Matters on Childhood Matters, values and skills for the entire family.
Mejoremos nuestro manejo del dinero escuchando a nuestros niños el domingo 3 de abril a las 8 de la mañana en esta estación.
Si se puede, yes we can.
We all aspire to live happy and fulfilled lives and raise our children with these values. But the stresses we face day to day can get in our way. Find support with Nurse Rona's podcast, Happiness Matters, with Dr. Christine Carter, author of Raising Happiness, where you'll learn about the science and art of cultivating these values and passing them on to the children in your lives. This podcast is available on our website or on iTunes. For more information, visit us at childhoodmatters.org.
Physical activity supports good health whether you're 7 years old or 70 years old. So take Grandma or Grandpa's hand and head outside for a walk. The Health Trust is committed to making sure people, both young and old, can lead long and healthy lives. Visit www.healthtrust.org to learn more about our Healthy Aging Initiative and how you can help make your community healthier.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Do you know someone who is pregnant? When a mom-to-be is 28 weeks or 7 months pregnant, she should make sure she feels her baby move every day. It's called kick counts. Research shows that kick counts are an excellent sign of the baby's well-being. If mom doesn't feel her baby kick at least 10 times in 1 hour, call your healthcare provider right away. By talking about kick counts, you could save a baby's life. This message is brought to you by Alameda County Public Health Department, Children's Hospital Oakland, and First 5 Alameda County.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
We're talking with Dr. Barbara Ivins and Bruce Collins, and we're talking with you. And I just want to say to the caller who was asking about disabilities, you know, I don't know a lot about that. I do know that, you know, hopefully the probation officer and the judge and other people take that into consideration in terms of making sure some of those needs are met. So if anyone knows more about that, let me know. We're going to take another listen now to Project What Youth, because I think they're so powerful, and we have another interview with them.
What do you think could have been done differently by the system to minimize the impact on your family?
I think the judge, he should have considered kids, because, you know, what if a child has only one parent and that's the only parent they could provide for them and their other parent was not there? So I guess he could have sent them to like a safe home or a rehabilitation system or something, you know, so he could take care of his kids.
I'm not sure what could have been done by the system, but maybe making sure that me and my siblings weren't separated for so long, or making sure that we went to the same home.
I feel like if they considered where they placed our family in prison, like if it's 6 hours away, if it's 2 hours away, that would have really helped so that we didn't have to commute that far. Also, the visiting situations. For me, both of my parents were incarcerated at one point. And for Santa Rita, you can't visit your parent unless your other parent or a legal guardian was with you. And my aunt would take us to visit, but she was the one taking care of us, but she wasn't our actual legal guardian, so they wouldn't let us in.
Well, my father was serving time for a drug charge, so when he was released, part of his parole was to go to attend a drug rehab, and it would have been really helpful if the drug rehab was an option at the time of sentencing versus the aftermath of being released. So 2 years of our lives were taken away from us.
What is some helpful advice that you would give to somebody who's going through this kind of experience and possibly doesn't know where to turn to?
I'll tell them to basically stay strong and just go to school and find as much support as you need.
If somebody is going through this experience, I would definitely say raise your voice. Make sure any of your opinions or questions are heard. I was very quiet as a kid. If I had questions, I kept to myself, didn't want to cause any more stress on my grandparents or anything. So if you have questions, do not be afraid to ask, because it could definitely be a positive outcome.
I would say not to hold grudges or anger, because it bears you down, to try to keep in touch with your parent and understand where they're coming from so that they can understand where you're coming from. Also, when they come out, not to look to the past, focus on the future. That way they can overcome their incarceration as well, so that they won't go back.
Well, I'll tell them, talk to someone, break the silence, because me, I was quiet and I was feeling with stress. And also come to an organization like Project What and keep your head up, stay in school, get an education, because it'll be a better outcome out of it.
I would say to definitely try to find support. Some people aren't comfortable talking about it right away, and they might not even recognize that it needs to be talked about or that it's having an emotional impact on them. So just trying to find something to keep them busy, because I felt like I had a place and people were holding me accountable for showing up. And then also, if you can find a support group like Project What, where it's a group of youth who have all experienced the same effect of parental incarceration, it's a safe place to talk, definitely that way. So yeah, try and reach out to somebody, find your niche or find something that you like to do that's a positive environment.
Thank you to all the youth at Project What from Childhood Matters.
Wow, I tell you, these youth, we don't have to say much else, do we? We're over here. They say it all. I mean, I'm just so impressed. And look, it looks like we have Ruth with us on the phone from Berkeley. She's the executive director of Community Works that oversees Project What. Ruth, I'm so glad you called in this morning.
Yes, I'm sorry I missed some of the show, but thank you so much for doing the show. And I just wanted to say a little bit about Project What is really a support group for children of incarcerated parents, but it's also really a opportunity for these young people to educate social workers and teachers and other service providers about how to better provide services to incarcerated parents. So these youth speak all over the Bay Area and actually all over the country around these issues. But the other thing I wanted to just talk about a little bit is what we are doing in San Francisco County Jail in partnership with the San Francisco Children of Incarcerated Parents Partnership, of which Barbara is also a member. But Community Works has created and implemented an initiative at the jail that really speaks to a lot of what Bruce and Barbara have been talking about. And it's to really change the culture in the jail, to really support parents,
yeah,
to support people leaving the jail, parents leaving the jail, to be better parents. And so we've created a very intensive parenting curriculum and support around how to parent, not just on the outside, but how to parent inside the jail.
Wow, Ruth, that is so important. You know, maybe we can do a show on that. I'd like to know more about the curriculum and what you're doing. And the projects through Community Works, they're amazing. And I think these youth, not only are they helping other people, but they have developed such leadership skills through your program. And I just want to say congratulations on doing this really hard work with such great rewards. Ruth, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to say goodbye for now. And I just want to thank you so much for what you're doing. So you have a good day. Thanks for calling in. What was that? I think we got a little disconnected here with Ruth. So Barbara, I was just thinking about how these youth then become leaders.
Oh, well, you know, I've been to the Project What conferences and seen the youth do their workshops and really present it. It's kind of incredible, and it's represented by the piece that you guys did and heard them. They've really targeted a lot of the issues that we're trying to work on in this field. Like one of them mentioned, are there diversion programs for parents? And there are some in California. and we have been involved with the community prison mother programs, which are community programs where mothers can be reunified with their infants. And there are the family foundation programs, again, for mothers, diversion programs, where mothers can be in rehabilitation, drug rehabilitation programs in the community with their kids instead of being there. So there are kind of some of these things are happening. Not enough.
Not enough, because there's so many times when really it's drug rehabilitation that's needed, or a program for addiction that's needed. And it starts getting me angry. Actually, I start thinking about our whole prison system, and I start getting upset about how we're taking money away from schools and we're not helping children when they're young, and people drop out because they're not getting the support. So I'm going to stop going in that direction because it gets me upset. But Bruce Collins, tell us a final word and also a little bit about this upcoming event that's going to be happening.
Well, first I'm going to say, Ronan, I was just very impressed with the interview of the kids. It was powerful and even impactful on me. One of the comments I wrote down was, I would like for them to get educated more about the criminal justice system and the probation services and how it works, so they have a good understanding of once that parent is put into prison, a lot of efforts have been made to avoid having to do that. And I think that was the thing that I heard that was missing. What I'd like to say, though, is the San Mateo County Father Collaborative, along with our Chief 180, is doing the Impact of Incarceration on Families Conference on May 28th for service providers. And it goes right along with our whole topic today. We're really concerned about the number of prisoners that's going to be coming back into the community. And we want to make sure that the service providers will be trained and ready to take on this task and get these people to be productive citizens.
And where can people find out about that? It's probably going to the Fatherhood Collaborative website.
Go to our website, and okay. They can register if they want to participate as a service provider with www.brownpapertickets.com,
okay,
or contact San Mateo County Father Collaborative Director Eve Akowicz at 650-802-5090.
Well, thank you so much for the work you do. It's just always a pleasure to work with you, and I know you're out there helping families no matter what you're doing. Thank you so much, Bruce Collins.
Thank you for having me, Rona.
And Barbara Ivins, a final word from you.
Well, I want to thank you for doing the show, because I think it's a really important topic, and I want to get the word out to the whole community, parents, families, service providers, that we need to come together to really think about how to help children of incarcerated parents.
And also, you were mentioning before, if you want to say real quickly, there are other kinds of programs where people can get involved.
There are actually some great programs out there. I mean, Project What is wonderful. There's in Alameda County through the library, there's a Start with a Story program where volunteers come and read stories, help with homework when kids are coming to visit their parents, both in the Oakland Jail and in Santa Rita. There's the Moms Program, One Family, Girl Scouts Beyond Bars. I think there are a lot of opportunities. Get on the Bus is having a big thing for Father's Day this year to kind of get kids able to kind of visit with their dads at the prisons in California. So there are opportunities for people to get involved.
Thank you so much. And I think the San Francisco Children of Incarcerated Parents Partnership is a great place to go also.
And they have a website.
And I have to say, Project What has an amazing website with the Bill of Rights and all kinds of, there's a whole resource guide right on their website that teaches people about this subject. So thank you all for what you're doing, and my best to all the children out there. This is Rona, and I want to thank our team also. We have producers Felsha Zuschlag and Lorenzo Plazola at the controls, and also my gratitude to my kids, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. I learn a lot from you all the time. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. And remember, spend time with your child when you can. And don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.